The Lord be with you.
If you'd like to be seated.
I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of Holy Communion this morning, and welcome to all those who are joining us online at home and in other places today as well. It's lovely to have you with us as we worship together. And today in our service, we're going to be thinking a little bit about Jesus' methods of communication. And we're going to be thinking in particular about faithfulness and steadiness in prayer. Those are the themes that will be running through our service today. On your way in, you will have seen the notices on the screen for the week that is to come. I wanted to highlight one or two things that don't happen every week. In particular, I wanted to mention on Wednesday afternoon, Mixed Bowls is happening at 2 o'clock. And also to mention that this coming Saturday, we're looking forward to celebrating our Community Fun Day between 2 and 4. And on Friday night, we're hoping to set up the hall for the Community Fun Day, if people can come to assist with that. It's being set up between 7 and 9 on Friday evening. And then the Community Fun Day is taking place between 2 and 4 on Saturday afternoon. We hope to have all sorts of things happening around the grounds and in the hall. We have some leaflets to be distributed as invitations, and there are some of those still available at the back of the church if people can help us with distributing them. They're labelled by street, and if you're happy to help with that, there are some just still at the back of the church. On Sunday, coming next Sunday, is our Harvest Sunday, and we're looking forward to welcoming visiting preachers at 11 and 7. And after the evening harvest celebration, we hope to have a harvest supper in the church hall, and the Mothers Union are hosting the supper, and there's a list at the back of the church, again, for those who might be able to supply apple tarts or fruit loaf. So just if you could make people aware of what's coming, that'd be really helpful on that list at the back of the church. Also at the back of the church today are the monthly Church of Ireland Gazettes, which are available for collection. So if you normally take a Church of Ireland Gazette, they're available for collection at the back of the church. And one final request for the Parish Fun Day on Saturday is we need one more assistant to serve at the barbecue stall. If you're able to help in that way, let us know at the end of the service. Andy will be leading us in our service today.
Good morning, and you're very welcome to this, our service of Holy Communion. Let's pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write these, your laws, in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. We'll stand together and sing the Gloria. Let's stand and sing. We pray together our collect for today. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us your gift of faith, that forsaking what lies behind, we may run the way of your commandments and win the crown of everlasting joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please take your seats.
The epistle is written in the second letter of Paul to Timothy in the third chapter, beginning to read at the 14th verse. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is the word of the Lord. Hear the words of the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ according to St. Luke in the 18th chapter, beginning at the first verse.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" This is the gospel of the Lord.
As we continue to stand together, let's declare our beliefs using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God.
We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let's sing together, "Lord, be my word and rule."
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I wonder if you've ever had something really important to say to somebody else, but somehow you haven't managed to get it across. Let me give you an example. Maybe you've met someone for whom you have very strong feelings. Every time they're in the room, your heart sings and the world is a better place. But then they come across to speak to you, and everything that you ever wanted to say comes out all wrong. You go all red and you can't get a word out. And you're so tensed up about the whole encounter that after a few painful minutes, you make your excuses and you leave. Or maybe you struggle with depression, or you live with someone who does. And whenever those dark feelings take hold, it's hard to see any light. Everyone is telling you that it will pass and that they love you, but you cannot accept that reality. You're stuck in this tunnel of self-criticism or self-loathing, and there doesn't seem to be any light at the end of it. Sometimes when you have really important things to say to someone else, you just cannot get through. And sometimes when Jesus had really important things to say, he didn't get through either. Now, he could have got mad about that. He could have got very frustrated. Maybe he felt very frustrated. But usually what Jesus did was he seemed to try to tell it another way. And very often he used the stories for which he became so famous, the parables, earthly stories with a heavenly meaning, if we borrow that well-coined phrase to describe the parables, the stories that Jesus told. And whenever I come across the parables in the Bible, I usually have two pretty basic questions. One is a general question, and the second is a more personal question. And the first question that I tend to ask when I come across a parable is, what is Jesus trying to get through or to get across here? What's the important message? And the second, more personal one follows on from that, and it is, what is Jesus trying to say to me through this story? And my first question is answered in a very straightforward way in today's gospel reading. We hear the answer in the very first verse. What's Jesus trying to get across here? He was telling this parable, we're told, to show them that they should always pray and not give up. This isn't an easy time in our world to be a disciple of Jesus. The world is a very noisy place. Lots of things scream for our attention, whether it is global or national politics, whether it's wars or a cost of living crisis. And everyone seems to have a view. Some people like to shout theirs from the rooftops. The more noise they create and the bigger the fuss generated, the more attention they believe people will pay to their position. And that's played out in the media, on the talk shows, on the internet, and there's no escaping all the noise. And it's easy to point the finger of blame on whoever might be in your particular line of fire. Might be a political party or a leader. It might be the company. It might be your boss. might be the church, might be God. And Jesus paints this picture for us in this story about one of the most powerful people in the town. He's a judge. He didn't fear God. He didn't care about men. And when I visualize this judge, I reckon he's somebody who would be located in the fashionable side of town. Somebody probably behind some sort of compound, behind lots of security, lots of gates. And he's got everything materially that he could ever wish for. He has no need to be beholden to anyone. And then there's also in the story this widow, someone from the lowest strata of society. Somebody with no husband to provide for her, scraping by, depending on the handouts and the charity of others in the society in which she lived. And again, somebody who was probably located in one of those developments in the town or the village that no one wants to live in. And there's no reason, one might think, that their paths should cross, this judge and this widow. But then Jesus in the story speaks about her persistence. And when I visualize her persistence and I think about this woman, I think maybe she's the sort of woman who keeps showing up at the gate of the compound. And she keeps pleading for justice every time the judge sweeps in against her adversaries. And she shows up most days, day in, day out, trying to make her point, trying to communicate until she is moved along. And true to form, this judge ignores her initially. And Jesus, in telling this story, lets us inside the judge's head for just a few verses. And we're able to hear that internal dialogue that's going on inside his head that says, while I don't have to help this woman, I am going to do so because she's really doing my head in with all her pleading. I can't go through my gates without her being there. And it is completely wrecking my head. And in the story, rather than compare God's willingness with the unjust judges, Jesus seems to contrast it. And what he says is that if this is what an old cynic can be prepared or persuaded to do by persistence, how much more will God want to bring about justice for those who cry out to him day by day? And the awkward bit of this story, or maybe it's the reassuring bit, depending on how you look at it, is when you ask the question, how long are we supposed to persevere with the prayers and not give up? How long are we supposed to keep going with these prayers when they don't seem to be answered in the way in which we might hope or expect? And Jesus doesn't give an answer to that question. But maybe there is a clue in the final verse of the parable when he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith on the earth? One of the things about faithful, persevering prayer is that there is no magic formula. There's no straightforward timeline. And as human beings, we find that difficult. We'd like there to be a definite recipe that if we followed it for, it doesn't matter how long, we would know we would get the end result that we were after. But in this world of faithful, persevering prayer, there is no straightforward timeline. If we think about the children of Israel, they journeyed through the desert for a year, 2 years, no, for 40 years. Or if we think about the birth of Jesus, it was centuries between the prophecies about the birth of Jesus, the promised Messiah, and his birth in history. Centuries. Well over 20 years ago, when I was a curate in Dublin, I went to visit a parishioner one day in a nursing home. And during our conversation, he told me that he wanted to bring me to meet a new resident of the home. The new resident was a clergyman who had retired, and he was in failing health, and his eyesight was failing. And so when I went to meet this clergyman with the parishioner from the church where I served, we shared some conversation about where he had served, and we made an interesting discovery. He had served in the tiny parish in County Carlow where my mum had come from. And as it transpired, he had baptized me as an infant. And as he made this discovery, his eyes filled up with tears, because he told me that over the years of his ministry, he'd always prayed very consistently for those that he had baptized. And it was a real joy for him to discover that someone he had baptized had entered the ordained ministry. Who knows how long he had been praying, and he might never have found out if it wasn't for that conversation, which arose by chance or maybe by God's circumstance. Who knows? Sometimes we will never know the answer to our prayers, but we keep praying in trust and in faith. Some months ago, when I was bringing Holy Communion to someone who was housebound, they started to weep. They were so upset and so overwhelmed by the war that was breaking out in Ukraine. And when they saw the scale of the suffering on the television night after night, the tears flowed as we prayed about that situation in our little service together. And they really wanted to help and to respond as best they could. And they sent a contribution through Bishop's Appeal at the time. The same person tunes in quite often online, and they'd heard about the church's harvest appeal for the larder food bank. And we want to say thank you to everybody who's been responding so generously with their gifts. And they sent around a parcel recently for that appeal. And sometimes when we think about the life of faithful, persistent prayer, you recognize it's not necessarily the big flash things that count, but it's the heart of compassion. The heart of compassion and the faithful prayers of God's people. So if we want to just recall for one moment the main point of Jesus' parable, keep praying. Keep praying and don't give up. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. We pray for your church throughout the world, for this diocese, and for David, our bishop. And today we pray for your church simply to be very steady and faithful in our life of prayer. Help us to constantly seek your direction and your guidance, to pray and to work for justice in the world, and to be instrumental in serving the needs of our people and community in whatever way we are able to do that, whether it's through our deeds and actions, or whether it's through our simple and faithful prayers. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the world, and today we pray for all who were bereaved and injured in the mining disaster in Turkey yesterday. We pray particularly for all the first responders and the colleagues who tried to help and to rescue those who were trapped. We pray too for all who are fearful for their safety in Ukraine as attacks intensify. We pray for an end to the violence on both sides, and for imaginative ways to bring an end to this conflict. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the sick, for the poor, and for those in any kind of trouble. And as the weather gets colder, we pray for all who sleep on the streets of our towns and cities, and for all who seek to reach out with practical assistance and help. We pray also today for the traumatized community of Creaslock after a week of heartbreaking funerals. We pray for Father John Joe Duffy, for Bishop Alan McGookin, and all who've been trying to offer pastoral help and support to those whose lives have been torn apart. We also want to pray this morning for all known to us who are sick, at home, or in nursing homes, or in hospital. And we pray too for all who care for them faithfully, day by day. We pray that you would be with them in the struggles and the challenges, and that you would provide for all their needs. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
As we turn our minds now towards the communion that is ahead of us, we continue in prayer with the words of the humble access. We do not presume. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share in his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let's stand and sing together, An Upper Room. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now, and may this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. These holy gifts make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen. 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 The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. All praise and thanks, O Christ, for this sacred banquet in which by faith we receive you. The memory of your passion is renewed. Our lives are filled with grace and a pledge of future glory given to feast at that table where you reign with all your saints forever. Amen. We pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Holy Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. As we bring our service to a close, it has been a special thing to worship this morning and take communion with you. And it's always a special thing when we're together and one in Christ, whether we're here in the room or here online. And can I please remind you that any of you who are bringing in donations of apple tarts or fruit loaves for Sunday the 22nd of October, could you please bring them to the hall next Sunday, that's the Houston Hall, before the service. Thank you very much. And we close with a blessing prayer. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keeps your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. We close our service by singing together How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds.